Universal credit for self-employed people. So first off, I'd say I'm not an expert on universal credit. I'm just someone who's applied myself, and I want to help other people get the money they need and have the right to receive. So this is recorded on the 23rd of the 3rd, 2020. So before you start, it's important to understand that universal credit is a nasty system designed to make accessing the help you deserve harder and less appealing than finding work. It is prescriptive, punitive, and seeks to chisel away at your right to help by placing unnecessary barriers and complexity in your path. Under normal circumstances, I would never recommend anyone to engage with it. My story is that last week, my income went from low to zero. I live month to month. I have no money to pay rent in April. I was advised by my landlord, a housing association, to apply for universal credit. So universal credit is a small amount of money, £94 a week for a single person without children. And it replaces other benefits or tax credits you may already be getting. That means you can't get these benefits at the same time, so do a bit of research before you start. For example, if you're already getting working tax credit, you may be better off staying on that system. So you can check out a calculator to get an idea of what you might be paid. You can find it at turntous.org.uk. That's turntous.org.uk, and just search for benefits calculator. If you're living with a partner, then you need to do a joint application. It will affect their benefits, and their income will be taken into account. If you are disabled and receive other benefits related to this, you may not be eligible for universal credit. And the first few questions in the process will determine if you are eligible for universal credit. If you are self-employed and are earning little to no money, then UC, I'm going to call it UC, then UC is the benefit you are supposed to be applying for. Expect big delays. Your first payment will be at least 1 month from the date of your phone interview, which may be a week away from your first application. This is under normal circumstances. Phone waiting times. I spent 2 hours on hold to arrange my first phone appointment. So expect this to be, to be this or worse. The minimum income floor is gone. So before COVID-19, self-employed benefits for UC were calculated on a presumed £16,000 self-employed income figure. This was after the first year, but now this has been removed and you'll be judged on the reality of your income. I think it's likely that increased support for self-employed people will come through UC and also through working tax credits. So if you have no other benefits, then for now, UC is a good option. If you are on working tax credit, you might be better off staying there because there should be an extra roughly £80 a month increase to that. But again, it really depends on your circumstances. Universal credit and housing benefit are mutually exclusive. You can't get both. UC replaces a whole load of benefits. So this can be a bit of a nasty bind that self-employed people will find themselves in. If you already have money coming in, perhaps you're better off sticking with that system and watching for changes. Really, I'd say applying for UC is more for people who weren't in the benefit system before. So let's start the application process. If you go to universal-credit.service.gov.uk, that's universal-credit.service.gov.uk, click the start button. So this first section determines eligibility. If you answer the truthfully, just to make sure you're eligible. If you are eligible, and this is determined by what benefits you might already be receiving, then create an account. So select your security questions. These are asked to you every time you log in or speak to someone on the phone. So you're going to need to write these down. Password managers, if you're using them, generally won't record these, and you will need them again and again and again. So here we come to a big fork in the road. If you live with your partner, you have joint finances. So they will need to create a UC account too and go through the process with you. If you're single or don't live with your partner, your finances are considered separate, is my understanding. So you should now see three sections: home, to-do list, and journal. Home provides an overview and links to other aspects of UC, such as applying for an advance once you're eligible. Journal is a list of all the tasks you've completed, and it's also the place where they will send messages to you. The to-do list is where we now do the rest of the application. So go to the to-do list. State your nationality. And if you've been out of the UK in the last 2 years, it can't be for any length of time. So my understanding is if it's more than 4 weeks, you may not be eligible. This is all about denying access to the benefit if you are not of British nationality or if you spend any time outside of Britain. United Kingdom. Housing. Do you have housing costs? Yes, I'm guessing you do. So they want to know, who do you rent from? The day month and year you moved in and how much your rent is. They want your landlord's name, contact number and email address. Also, there's some subsequent questions. Do you live at the same address as your landlord? Because that makes you a lodger. The next questions check whether you're paying money to yourself or a company you own that might own the house, or whether you're paying rent to a family member. My understanding from the housing benefit days is that this isn't allowed. You can't pay money to a family member. And then you have to answer how many bedrooms you have and if there's anybody else on the tenancy agreement. So let's say if you lived in a two-bed flat, you'd say there are two bedrooms, but there are two of you on the tenancy agreement. And then you have to let them know how much rent that person pays and some info about them. Also, if you have a casual renting agreement, let's say there's no formal or written tenancy, then you just a letter that you can write yourself is considered proof enough of the situation. At least it has been in the past. But so far, I haven't been asked to provide that proof. They've contacted my landlord directly. So you can expect your landlord to be contacted. So it's important to get these details correct, because if your landlord and you don't agree on the details, your claim can't progress until they do. Council tax. If your name is on the council tax bill, you can apply for a reduction in your council tax. This is money your local council can choose not to collect. You will need to contact your council/local authority. Obviously, having children affects your entitlement in a big way. So answer honestly, if you've got kids, you're going to have to go through the whole kids section. Does mean you're entitled to a little bit more money. Not a great deal, but it's something extra. And then it's about people who live with you. So there's some things you were like, it says to say if I have a friend, but or not if they're a joint tenant. So in these conditions, the nots override the do's. So if you have a friend, but they are a joint tenant, then you don't record them. So it's more about determining who's part of your household, who you might have responsibility for. So are you currently working? Here's one that feels a bit funny, because you're sort of working, but maybe there's no paid work. So my stance on this, my approach, is that if you are self-employed and seeking to continue working, then yes, you are still working. This counts even if your earnings just went to zero. You are not unemployed, just unpaid, and you're still doing work around your self-employed business. Are you getting statutory sick pay from your employer? No, you don't have an employer. You're self-employed. Do you get maternity allowance currently? And then are you expecting earnings from any previous employment? If yes, tell them how much, or say no if you're not expecting any. The amount of money you put here will affect your entitlement to benefits for the initial payment. So if you've got a large amount of money coming in the previous month, it will impact you. In the next month, are you going to be self-employed? So here, if you want to stay self-employed, then answer yes. If you want to give up being self-employed, then answer no. If you answer no, you are no longer self-employed and they will expect you to find other work. This would have been the situation under the previous system. I don't know what it means now. For this, I would say answer yes, I intend to keep being self-employed. Then they're going to ask you about your savings. I think if you have more than 16K in savings, you've got to use that until you have less than that amount. I think it might all the way, then you get a reduced amount between 16K and 6,000. So your savings have a big impact on what you're entitled to. Income from other earnings. This is taken into account in the amount of money you'll get, so it will reduce your entitlement. Training and education. If you're in full-time training, you're not eligible. If you're in part-time training and can work alongside your studies, then you're eligible. Health conditions. So this is this can open up the possibility of needing other benefits. Certainly, answer yes. If you answer yes, they'll want to know what their health condition is. And this can also be important if you are self-isolating due to that health condition, which is as I'm doing. So, Nen, be prepared for a bit of a nasty question. Out of the blue, has your doctor said you might have less than 6 months to live? If you're literally dying, you might get the small amount of money you're entitled to slightly faster. But yeah, so just be prepared for that one. If you are actually in a really serious position and you are dealing with a terminal illness, that is a question they're going to ask you. Do any of your conditions affect your ability to look for work? So answer this in relation to the current situation following NHS advice for your condition. I have type 1 diabetes. NHS advice is that I practice stringent social distancing, effectively self-isolation. And certainly the work that I did do before put me in contact with people and I'm no longer able to do that work. So yes, I have a condition that affects my ability to look for work currently. And then you're going to be looking at the next one is, are you caring for someone? If you answer yes, then there's more to follow. Essentially, if your care responsibilities mean you can't work, then you might not be able to get universal credit. You might be more eligible for a different kind of benefit. If the answer is no, it's more simple. Move on to the next one. Input your bank details. This is where they're going to pay, fingers crossed, any money you're going to get. And then you'll come to a screen where you've got to confirm all your details. And just go through each statement, check it, double check it. Is it right? Is it what you want to say to them? Click correct. So that's the first part complete. Well done. You should now have sort of submitted everything, and there'll be some new options in your to-do list. One of the first things to do is confirm your identity online. I used the service, the Digidentity app, and you can follow the instructions for that. Next step, and this was the worst part for me, was arrange your in-person appointment. And you need to do this right away or as soon as possible, because this is what actually starts the ball rolling. This will involve a long time waiting on the phone. I spent 2 hours waiting on the phone. It is no longer an in-person appointment. It's all happening by the phone. Even if they say there's an in-person appointment, there's not. It will all happen by phone. So, crazy thing, you have to call them to arrange a time for them to call you. Feels a bit circular, but that's the way it is. Lines open at 8 a.m. When I called, there was no indication of the length of time you'd be waiting. So, you know, call when you're prepared to spend at least 2 hours on the phone waiting. Then you'll be given a time and date for that that call. You need to be in for that call. I'll talk more about that later. So next thing to do is to fill out your previous 12 months earnings. Again, be honest, it's whatever your income was for each of those months is going to factor into this. This is a little bump for you to make sure you've done your accounts for the previous 12 months. It's not the tax year. It's literally the previous 12 months. So even if you haven't done your accounts for this year, you'll need to get these figures up to date. Next, you can upload your CV. This is because this system is essentially set up for people who are looking to find work or extra work. And so you're expected to have the CV. And next, basically just check through anything else that's on your to-do list, and check also in your journal if there's any extra things. You should see now in your journal a list of all the tasks you've completed. Yay, you're done for now. Once you've completed that phone call, you're now through the first steps, basically just waiting for your phone call to come through. When they're going to call you, you really need to make a note of the time, set an alarm. They may be delayed, but you can't be delayed in answering them. If you fail to answer this call, your claim can't progress. And if you've failed to answer any of these calls that come up, and you can be sanctioned, which is you can have your benefits reduced for non-compliance. The first call will just be used to confirm your identity. Seems silly. They've already confirmed your identity. They need to reconfirm your identity. So that will happen. That's that whole waiting on the phone thing was just for this call to confirm identity. It would usually happen in person. Now it happens via phone. They'll ask you some details about previous addresses. That's it. There's no trick questions. They're just trying to confirm details that they've got for you. On this call, they will confirm the time of your next phone call. This is the commitment interview. I haven't done this yet, but again, it's really important. Set an alarm on your phone for the time and date of this phone call. Make sure your phone's not on silent. If you miss this phone call, you can get sanctioned. Again, this would mean that your entitlement would be reduced. Again, this is part of the punitive system by which, sanctions just used to belittle and bully people, essentially. Let's be clear, it's not a nice system. So, here's things to bear in mind. They are altering this whole process on the fly, as it would usually involve in-person meetings. You've got to expect some inconsistency. Also expect that this system was made for a few thousand people each week to sign up, and perhaps we're looking at a significant portion of the 5 million self-employed people in the UK applying through the system in the next few weeks. So, expect the system to be massively overwhelmed. And for the people you're dealing with to be at the end of their tethers too. So I'm going to update this once I've been through my next phone call. That's about it. So I'll have more to say on the 25th of the 3rd. So until then, good luck. Stay safe.